you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 4. I want to actually read verses 12 or 10 through 12. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want to look at that name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the name we have to be saved by. This story actually starts in chapter 3, and I want to kind of look at that. Peter starting this. We're told in verse 1 of 3 that Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. These men went to the gate, or went to the temple to pray. They went together as brethren. It says, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. We're told through this story, this man was about 40 years old. These people knew this man. He'd been laying there for a long time. Said he was lame from birth. That's the way we are. The sinners, we're lame. We can't stand on our own. It takes the grace of God and his mercy to lift us up. And he put this man here, and he put his apostles here at the same time. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. We need to look on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look and listen to the men that stand and declare our Lord Jesus Christ. And this man did. He listened. He gave heed unto them. He was expecting to receive something. And did he receive something? Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter didn't ask him to stand up. He didn't ask him to do something to be healed. He declared the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the name we've got to be saved by. That's the only name that will save a man or a woman. All that the Father has given him will come to him. That's what we're told. And then it says, and this man, they helped him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. This is a work that only the Lord could do. The Lord had saved many, and he used his apostles in this case, but he did it. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that did the work. And it was for his honor and for his glory. And this man, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered it with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. That is what any man that the Lord Jesus Christ saves, he will be leaping, he will be walking, and we're also told he'll be sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And we need that. I needed that. I still need that. Oh, if the Lord doesn't keep us, and he can keep us through his name, but that's nothing we do. nothing we do. And these people, this gave Peter and John a chance to preach and declare the gospel. These people were greatly wondering if this man that they had seen lame for all these years, that he was walking now. And Peter, he declared how this man was able to walk and by what means he was saved. He said, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus Christ, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." He didn't pull no punches. These people, they had been religious. They had been there at the temple. They had been there and said, "Crucify him." They went along with their leaders. They decided, thought they decided, to crucify our Lord. They only did, is what Peter said in Acts 2. He said, "You did the determinate counsel and will of God." God had predetermined for him to be sacrificed, be our substitute, and hang on that cross and shed his blood for the sins of his people. And he told them, he said, "You denied the Holy One and Just One. You desired a murderer to be granted unto you." They could find no fault with our Lord Jesus Christ. He was perfect. But they would have rather had a murderer back released among them than they had to let the Lord Jesus Christ go. But they only did what God had determined beforehand be done. And he told them, he said, "Then killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, wherefore of ye are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him, Christ, hath given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all." All through that verse, he does nothing but declare that the Lord Jesus Christ did it all for that man. And not only from the sounds of it, not only did he heal his body, but he healed his soul. That's what we need. We need that Spirit to heal our souls, save us from our sins. He told them to repent. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ came preaching. He said he came preaching repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what we're told. He was sent here as a preacher. He was that prophet. He was sent here. And then Peter goes on to tell these people about that prophet. He said, "That's what Moses spake of, a prophet that the Lord your God shall raise up from among your brethren." That's what all the other prophets from Samuel on, that's what they declared was the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all his word. It's all about him. And our Lord, in his mercy and in his grace, we're told in verse 4 of chapter 4 that how many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of these men was about 5,000. I've heard it said both two different ways that this could have been a total of 8,000. He'd saved 3,000 and now there's another 5,000. Or it could just be a total of 5,000. But it just went from 120 just a very short time before up in a room to thousands. He said on the cross, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And our Lord did. And he started his church with people, and he chose them. He gave them the belief to believe in him. He did it all for them. And then we look that it tells us in verse 1, chapter 4 says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." these religious men were grieved. And isn't that the way it is this day and time? The religious people out here, if we tell them who the true God is, who the true Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, is, they're grieved. They don't like that. But who makes us to differ? But God. If He hadn't have saved us, He could have left us right there in all that too, which some of us came from. He could have left us to ourselves. What mercy and what grace He has on His people. And then it says in verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day. They arrested these two men for declaring the Lord Jesus Christ, that He was all in all. They put him in prison. Can you imagine the religious leaders in our county coming in here and taking our pastor out while he's preaching? I mean, it would be the same thing. It's still hard to imagine, but they would do it if they could get away with it. I know they would. If you hear them talk, you know that they can't stand anybody actually preaching the truth. They get along with everybody else, but they can't get along with anybody that's telling the truth. But they put them in prison. And this was a trial for Peter and John. At this time, they would just have to suffer for a little bit, overnight. Later, they would suffer to the death. The Lord would take Peter and others. He sends lesser trials to prepare us for the greater ones. That's the miraculous work of our Lord, that He, through Christ, gives us the faith to endure. If it's not in Christ and of Christ, we have no hope. But Christ is our hope, and He is that name whereby we must be saved. It says that it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. These high priests, they had made a mockery of what God had taught. Caiaphas was also a high priest. There is but one high priest. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only high priest, but He only set an ordinance for there to be one high priest, which was a representation and a picture of Christ as the one high priest. But these men asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" At this point, the Sanhedrin did not care for what they were preaching. They didn't care that this man had a good deed done towards him and been healed miraculously. They didn't care about any of that. They got on their high horse and asked by what name. Peter here and John could have declared Jehovah, the Holy God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and everything would have been fine. They would have been, all right, y'all go have at it. But that would have been a denial of Christ. Peter had denied Christ once. And whenever that cock crew the third time, he wept bitterly. That's what we're told. He had wept bitterly. He didn't deny the Lord again. He stood and proclaimed. And he did it through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and the elders of Israel." You know, after this, I'm sure Peter remembered what Christ had said, "They will take you to the synagogues. They'll take you before the rulers. Take no thought for what you'll speak. The Holy Spirit, will teach you the same hour what you shall say." This is what the Holy Spirit had him say to these men. This was not held back. This wasn't declared anything to them. They had a zeal for God, but it wasn't according to knowledge. That's what Paul told us he was a Pharisee. He said he knew his brethren, and he prayed for them to be saved. But he said they had a zeal. They were religious, but they didn't know God. And if you don't know God, there's no hope. You're just going through the motions. We need God. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. It said, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all. I love that. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. These men, they knew exactly who he was talking about. They thought they put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. They thought, well, that'll stop all of this. Well, that was just a part of God's plans. He had to die to save his people. He had to be buried and resurrected. That was all for his people. He did that out of the mercy and goodness to save his people from their sins. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. That is why he would choose me. I have no idea. But I thank my Lord every day that he decided to choose, that he was the one in charge, that he's the one that did it all, that it's his righteousness that I will be presented to God before. And he said that this man stands here before you whole. And he stands here because the Lord Jesus Christ, his name was invoked. His name, by his name, that's how this man was saved. That's how he was made whole. Then he told him, he said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. These men had tried to build their religion without Christ. Which reminded me of the story of building on the rock and building on the sand. These men had built on the sand. Without Christ, there is no hope. There is no rock. But our God, he chose to make God the Son the head of the corner. He exalted him highly. He put him there. And he made him the rock. That's our foundation, is the rock. Christ is that rock that we need to, that our faith is built upon. And it's only by his faith that we have faith. We're told our faith is not of ourselves. And then we get to our text, and we'll dwell here a little while. Neither is there salvation in any other. To be saved means you need to be saved from something. Our God is holy. Our God cannot look upon sin. He has to punish sin. He will punish sin. He had to punish the Lord Jesus Christ because he took our sin. If you're without Christ and you want to stand before God on your own merits, he said, no matter what you've done that you think is good, there's none good. Our best, our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. We need a Savior that can save us, and there's no salvation without the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to be the one doing the saving. He done it all. He planned it, he purposed it, and he did it. He said it was finished before he even got to the cross in his prayer. He's finished it all. It was finished before the foundation of the world. He purposed it. God can't back down. If you look back through all of the promises that God made, the covenants that he made with Abraham, David, any of the others, it was always God making the covenant. And these men were okay. The Lord did it all. He made the covenant. He kept the covenant. The men couldn't keep the covenant. I mean, we're still sinners, and we'll be till the day we die. But at that point, our Lord, if we're in Christ, we'll be made perfect. We'll be seen in Christ, and we'll praise his name forevermore. It says, this is how that salvation, there is no other. That is the only way we can be saved. It says, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This name is above all. This name is to be honored above all else. It will be. Our God said that. Peter and John rightfully declared this name and the greatness of it, as do the scriptures. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9, verse 6. We're told, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All these names are Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. All these names, he's wonderful, he's a counselor, he's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. Only through him can a sinner attain peace. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ and his work and his blood. We're told in Matthew that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. Not try, not might, he shall save his people. What our God has purposed to do cannot be undone. No man can stay his hand. He does as he will. He does as he pleases with whom he pleases. We're told he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And he'll have compassion on whom he'll have compassion. So it's not of him that willeth or runneth, but of God that does the choosing. And I wanted to look at some of the things. We've seen some names there. Some other names that he goes by and that he is, that means his name. One, God has highly exalted his name. We see that in Philippians chapter 2. Read verses 6 through 11. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, said, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. What grace and mercy for our Lord to leave the heaven that he was in. Come down here as a man like us. Live amongst sinners for his people. He did it for his people. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He said, no man taketh my life, I lay it down. And he did. And we're told, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's the name that we have to be saved by. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ did everything for the glory and the honor of his Father, and his Father did everything for the honor and glory of his Son. These two were one. And the Holy Spirit filled Peter. He didn't tell about himself. He told about the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what it all revolves around, is the Son, God the Son. And every knee should bow. The Lord will have us bow in this lifetime to him, or he'll have us bow in the next. Woe to them that he has bow in the next. They will bow, but they'll have to pay for their sins. And by his mercy and his grace, he chose some. We should all be there doing that. But he chose some not to endure that. Some for the glory and the honor of his Son to be saved. Saved from their sins. His name is precious. I was reading 1 Peter, and it was amazing how many times he said precious regarding Christ's name. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 4, he says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And then he went down into verse 6, and he said, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. That name that we have to be saved by, must be saved by, is precious. That name is the power of God. He said as much in his prayer in John 17. In verse 2, he said, and thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The Lord has showed us these things, and they are clear. The Lord has given him power over all flesh, and as many as thou hast given him, they will be saved. In Romans 1:16, he says, for I am, the Apostle Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Our Lord sent the ordinances, the covenants to his people, Israel, through Abraham. He passed those along. They put him on the cross. They did what God determined, but they put him on the cross. They rejected that stone. God made him the head corner. Set his name above all other names. And then our God set him above every name. And then he sent it out to the rest of the world. the ones the Jews didn't believe could have anything to do with their God. He sent that message out and saved other than Jews. Thank the Lord he did, or it might not have reached us, but the Lord came for us too. He had his people out of every nation, kindred and tribe. He is the believer's pardon. By him, we're pardoned from our sin. In 1 John 2, verse 12, he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. His name that we must be saved by, this name, was done for his name's sake. He saved his people for his name's sake. He chose to save a people. He did that. He saved his people. Not all have been called yet. When the last one's called, that's going to be the end of this earth. He's coming then. He's coming back once he calls his last one, and he does it in his own time. That man that was 40 years old, lame, laying there, was 40 years old before the Lord saved him. I know that. I know that feeling. That's where the Lord left me. I was pretty close to that. Left me lame for that long. And we're also told, for Christ's sake, in Ephesians 4, verse 32. I'm trying to memorize these, but my mind's not as sharp as it used to be. And said, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Because of the work that the Lord did, our Lord Jesus Christ did, God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. Oh, what mercy and what grace he has given us. His name is faith. He is that faith. We're told that faith is, that the faith we have is not of ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ is the faithful one. In Hebrews 11, all those times it says, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abel, by faith, Abraham. That's all by Christ those men did what they did. Christ died for them, paid their sin debt, and then had Noah build an ark, had Abraham see a promised son. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. Had him take his own son up for a sacrifice to show him that there was another that was a substitute, that he wouldn't die, his son wouldn't have to die. That substitute did have to die. He died for us. If we're saved, it will be by that name. That name alone. We need to call to that name. We need to be like the publican. We need to call on that name. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's what we need. We need to call on that name. We need to beg and plead our Lord to save us. And that name being above all, I know I read the whole thing of chapter 5, Revelations before, but I want to look back at verses 12 through 14 in closing. And if we're the Lord's, if He's chosen to save us from our sins, keeps us till the end, and He's the faithful one that can do that, we will be like all of these others that were there, the thousands and thousands, the 10,000 times 10,000, will be saying, in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." What a glorious time that will be when we can truly, without sin, praise and honor our God and His Son that He sent to be our substitute. It's by that name we must be saved. Y'all stand with me.